want to invite you to find Matthew chapter 13 in your Bibles tonight. Matthew chapter 13 will be where we take our text. But before we get into the message tonight, I want to take just a moment to kind of have a state of the church address, if you will. We've made it through one quarter, and I think it's good for us to take stock of where we're at as we go through the year. Our theme for this year is real. And you can see the Bible verse right here, 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And that we would have a real heart, a real mind that's committed to Christ, that we would have a real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And really this comes from just kind of the heart, a burden that God's put on my heart for a while now, the fact that there are so many who don't seem to be real or genuine in their walk with Christ. And for a lot of people, Christianity is their religion. And it's interesting, I told you about the young man I met from Switzerland. He was here last Sunday night, Mark Ryman, and he's still running all over the country. Last I heard, he was in Colorado, and he's having a good time. But, you know, Mark's a brother, and he told me that in his country, that maybe 20% of the people are Christians, but most of that is just on paper. He said they're Christians only on paper. And you understand that when they fill out a form, they mark Christian. That's their religious affiliation. But in reality, in their life, in what they really believe, that's not who they are. Their faith is feigned. It's fake. It's not real. But God has called us to have a real faith, a genuine faith, a faith unfeigned. And that's really the heart that God has given me, because you and I all know, and it's not, and you'll get this from the message, it's not really for us to go around judging, trying to figure out who's really real about their faith and who isn't. That's not the point. The point is for us to be real. For us to examine our hearts, whether we be in the faith, for us to walk in the faith, for us to be real in our faith. And so that we do that, we have charity, we have godly love out of a pure heart, that our heart is right, that we have a good conscience, that we're not plagued with our convictions of our sin because we keep short accounts with God. And we all sin. I'm going to give you one more chance. We all sin. But we can have a good conscience before God if we're quick to repent of our sin. If we'll keep short accounts with God. Listen, if you think you've got to wait till Sunday morning to get right with Jesus, you're just dead wrong. Amen. The moment you sin, the moment you have a bad thought, the moment you do something wrong, the moment you respond in anger to your wife or your kids, repent. Amen. Lord, forgive me for doing that. And then repent towards the person you did wrong. Honey, I'm sorry that I snapped at you like that. Listen, kids, I'm sorry. Daddy was wrong to be angry and yell at you like that. We need to be in the habit of keeping short accounts. When we sin, we need to repent. We need to be quick to be right with the Lord. We need to be real. And we put this theme out there before everybody, and we really haven't got into it a whole lot as far as real, but we did spend a lot of time in Hebrews chapter 11 and learning about real faith. When we looked at the heroes of the faith, we saw what real faith is. And see, here's the thing about real faith. Real faith works. Amen. James said, faith without works is dead, being alone. And we understand that. Some people twist that around and say, see, you have to have works to be saved. No, our salvation is not by works. It's by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so we're not saved by our works, but we are saved by faith through the grace of God. And then we work because we're saved. And if our faith is real, then it will result in real work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I'm afraid as Bible-believing Baptist, work is the most hated four-letter word in the whole church. But work is a good thing. Amen. In your life, work is a good thing. Amen. In your family, work is a good thing. In the church, work is a good thing. Amen. And let me just help you out in case some of you think that work's a bad thing. Ask somebody who physically can't work anymore, and they'll tell you that work is a great thing. Amen. Because they wish they could. They wish they could. And so work is a blessing from God, and work results from real faith in God. You know, we talk about numbers in the church, and I know some of you don't like numbers, but I told you at the beginning of the year, numbers is a good thing. I know it because God has a whole book named Numbers. Amen. Right? Amen. Numbers aren't a bad thing. Because every number that we have, every time we take an attendance on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, we take an attendance, each one of those check marks is a soul. And the amount of souls who are in this building to worship Jesus, to learn and grow in the Word of God, that's important. Amen. And so I want to let you know where we're at. When we started this year, we averaged 83 in Sunday school. Last year, we averaged 113 in the morning worship. We averaged 79 in evening worship. And we averaged 106 on our Wednesday night discipleship. That's everybody in the building on a Wednesday night, 106. And so here's what I want you to know. We went from 80 in Sunday school in the first quarter. This first quarter, we've gone down to 78. In the first quarter, we were at 107 in morning worship. We have gone down to 103. In the evening worship, we were at 80. We've gone down to 73. And on Wednesdays, I'm looking at the wrong line here. I'm sorry. We went from 83 to 78, 113 to 103, and 79 to 73. And on Wednesday nights, praise the Lord, we've gone up by one. 106 to 107. That's averages. Now, I get it. Averages can be skewed by a lot of things. All of you people wanted to have the flu this year. I don't know why, but every family decided to have the flu or the stomach bug, and you passed it around to everybody. And so our attendances this winter were pretty rough. The sickness was pretty rough. And so I just plead with you to stop being sick. If you could just quit being sick, that would be awesome. Now listen, somebody might say, well, why would you share those numbers? Those are kind of discouraging. They're down. Oh, because I don't want to lie to you. You need to know where we really are. Amen. Looking at these things is not to try to make somebody feel good. It's reality. Amen. And you need to understand that when you're not here, it makes a difference. Amen. And it doesn't just make a difference because Brother Isaac's going to get up and give us an attendance report and everybody's going to know what the averages are. No. If you think that's what it's about, then you're missing the point. Amen. But it does matter whether you're here or not. Amen. It matters whether you're in your place. It matters whether you're receiving the challenges from the Word of God. It matters whether you have your family here in church when we are gathered together, when we have an appointed time to assemble. It matters whether you're hearing the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. It matters whether you're here and inviting others to come. I found this an amazing thing. I you know, we want to invite others to come to church, right? Amen. It's more effective if we're here. Amen. I mean, if you say, hey, why don't you come to church with me Sunday? I won't be there, but you should come. It's rough. Amen. So it's important. It's important for our own spiritual growth. It's important for our families. It's important for one another. Hey, just be honest with me. Just in your spirit, when this morning, I don't have any idea how many were here this morning, but it was a pretty good crowd this morning. Did you notice that? How many of you noticed it was a pretty good crowd this morning? Why? Because you care. Because it matters. I hope it wasn't because it's kind of crowded in here. I wish some of these people weren't here. I hope it wasn't that kind of attitude. I hope it was, man, this is great. There's people here. This is good. We need to have that heart. We need to have that attitude. There may be more that I don't know about, but I know that there have been three professions of faith. All three of them that I'm aware of came from, just a couple weeks ago. How long ago was that? It takes me a while to get over those youth things. I don't recover as quickly as I used to. I've seen a lot of young people make professions of faith, and we always come back from camp with these reports of these people getting saved, and it's always good. And I know some of you are skeptics like me, and you wonder, well, I wonder how many of them really got saved. And I'm going to help you out with this. I don't know. I'll tell you this. I believe time will tell. Amen. I believe time will tell because I believe people who genuinely get saved, it changes their life. Amen. People who get really saved, people who have real faith, it changes their life. It changes the way they live. They have a desire, like those young ladies that came this morning that want to get baptized. You know what that is? That's a sign that they really are saved. They want to follow Christ in baptism. They want to be in church. They want to be here and grow and serve in the Lord, and it's a blessing. And here's, let me throw this at you real quick, and then I'll get into the real message tonight. But we were challenged at the beginning of the year to love God with a real heart, and that that would show in our walk. And here's something I can't see. I can't see how your personal walk is with Christ, but I just hope you'll think about it. I hope you'll examine your own life and say, how is my walk, my daily walk? How's my prayer life? How's my Bible study? You know, we've got the calendar each month, and it's got the Bible reading. And listen, I know how it is, man. Sometimes, some days you get behind, and it's hard, and different things. But are you staying in the Word of God? Are you studying your Bible every day? When you're walking with God, how is your worship? How is your personal worship? Our worship is not just singing songs. As a matter of fact, the singing of songs is really praise. That's not worship. Worship is what's happening inside our heart. Worship literally is to fall on your face. And so how is your heart before the Lord? Are you faithful to Him? Do you have ears to hear? Are you humble and obedient? Are you praising the Lord? Are you giving to His service with your time, talents, and treasure? How is your work? We said real faith results in work, and our work shows in our daily lives, our jobs, our school, everything that we do in our daily life. And let me ask you this. How is your witness? Our witness comes in our walk, how we live, but our witness has to come from our words. And I don't know that I can say this too much. I get it. Some people say, well, my life is my witness, that just by the way I live, my testimony, that's how I witness to people. You misunderstand what the word witness means. Jesus told His church, He said, you're going to wait for Me, you're going to wait for power to come, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and then you'll be witnesses unto Me. And what He meant is you'll go and preach the gospel. Remember Romans chapter 10? How shall they hear except someone tell them? How shall they hear except there be a preacher? Listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And our life needs to match our testimony, but we must share the gospel. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And if you don't verbally tell somebody the gospel, they're not going to get saved. Amen. You say, why not? Because that's what God said. And we don't get to choose how it works. He tells us how it works. Amen. And so take those gospel tracts. But don't just rely on the gospel tract. Let that be just an end so that you can open your mouth and tell people the gospel. Let me ask you a question real quick. How many of you have received the gift of eternal life? Did you just raise your hand? I've received the free gift of eternal life. Been saved. Okay, you can put your hands down. If you know that you have received the gift of eternal life, then you should be able to tell someone else how to receive that gift. Amen. I mean, is that fair? Amen. I hope so, but I really don't care because it's the truth. Amen. Fair or not? If you've been saved, then you ought to be able to tell someone else how to be saved. Amen. And let me say this as plainly as I can. I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings, but I guess that's partly my job. If you can't tell someone else how to be saved, then you should really examine your own heart. If you don't understand the gospel that you say you've trusted in enough to tell someone else, you really ought to look at your heart. Now listen, I get it. You say, well, I know how I'm saved, and I know how someone else is how to be saved, but it's really hard to put into words. Maybe there's room for that. I get that. Sometimes it's hard to articulate, but here's the reality. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. Jesus Christ died for me and rose again, and by faith in Him, I have eternal life. Amen. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is not complicated, and nobody gets saved because it's something really complicated. It's easy enough for a small child to come to Christ. So, how is your witness? And I can't tell you that. I can give you reports on our attendance. And I can tell you how many made professions of faith. I can tell you how many we baptized at the end of the year. I can give you statistics like that. But what I can't do is tell you what's going on in your own heart. I can see evidence because I hear testimony, and man, it's a blessing. I've heard testimony just in the past few months of people saying, I got to give somebody a gospel tract down at the restaurant. I got to share the gospel with somebody and say, you know, normally, used to, I wouldn't do something like that. I talked to one of my friends, and I asked them if they were saved. Now, normally, I wouldn't do something like that, but now I do. You know what that is? Praise God. That's growth. Amen. That's changed heart. That's changed lives. That, my friends, is real. And by the way, if we keep doing what we've always done, we'll always get what we always got. And if you're satisfied with what we've always got, then I pray the Holy Spirit of God will make you dissatisfied. Amen. I want to see more souls saved. Amen. I want to see more lives changed. Amen. I want to see more families come to Christ. Amen. I want to see more people growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to see real discipleship happening right here at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. And that happens when we have real faith. That happens when we strive to be real disciples by continuing in the Word of God and striving to bear fruit to the glory of God. All right? Everybody good? Just nod your head and I'll move on. All right, now I'm ready to preach. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. I know you, man, I thought he was done. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. I don't intend to preach for a long time tonight, but often my intentions fail. I intend to get up early and work out in the morning. We'll see how both of those things go. Let's stand together. It's good to be in God's house. I'm having fun whether you are or not. Amen. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please convict our hearts by it. I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this service would examine their own heart to see whether they're in the faith. Help us to realize that there are tares within the kingdom of God, and help us to make sure we're not one of them, that we have real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you wouldn't allow this message to cause us to just look around and try to judge others, Lord, but no, you would help us to examine our own hearts, to strive to be real in our walk with you. And Father, may you help us to bear much fruit for your glory. Please bless now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. I just want to talk to you very quickly this evening about the good seed, the tares, and the harvest. First of all, the good seed, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. So we have the man, he has a field, and he has good seed. He knows it's good seed. He's checked the seed. He's made sure it's good seed. And he goes and he puts it into the field. He sows it. Now, if you're wondering what this is all about, we're going to skip ahead a little bit down to verse 37. Look down at verse 37. We don't have to wonder what this is all about because Jesus tells us, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now remember with the parable of the sower before, the sower was us, the believer, to go and cast the seed of the Word of God out. The field was the heart of mankind, and the seed was the Word of God. Now here the parable is different. By the way, when you study your Bible, be careful not to borrow from one parable to put it in to another parable. Don't borrow from one meaning to put it into another. Unless God's word explicitly says this is the same thing, we need to be careful. Because here, the seed is not the word of God. The seed is actually those who are the children of God. The good seed are saved people. Amen. This time, the sower is not the believer sharing the gospel. This time, the sower is Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And so we need to make sure we get things right. So the sower is the Son of Man, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus Christ here in Matthew, presented as the Son of Man, trying to make sure that we understand that he is man. He is one of us. That he is God robed in human flesh. That he became one of us to be our Savior. In other places, he refers to himself as the Son of God. So we would remember, John wants us to know his deity, that he is God. Matthew wants to make sure we get the truth that he is man. And what an incredible truth that Jesus is both God and man. 100% God, 100% man. How do you do that? I don't know. Just what the Bible says. We believe the Bible. So the sower is Jesus. The field, he says, is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. So those who would come to God and be part of his kingdom under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, because the kingdom is in their heart, they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, have been saved. This is the good seed, and in the parable, they are the wheat, and they bear fruit. Amen. Everybody together? Amen. Because real disciples bear much fruit. John 15, right? Amen. If you really follow Christ, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be seen in your life. You're going to be doing things for the Lord. You're going to be gaining rewards and bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's going to be evident in your life that you're really saved. Were you saying, preacher, that I got to be perfect? No. I am saying that you have to be growing. Amen. Maturing. And it ought to be seen in your life that you're following God. So that's the good seed. Moving on, let's talk about the tares. Verse 25. But while men slept. By the way, Jesus wasn't asleep. Men were. While men slept. His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Now we get the picture, we get the parable. This man, he had his field, and remember we talked a lot about it. He would make sure he got all the big rocks out of the way, and he would make sure he got the rows would be broken up and ready to receive the good seed and all those things. God would do that work. And the seed would come in and the fruit would come up. And so you get the picture that this guy sowed his field and he's so excited. All he has to do now is wait, right? It's up to God now to send the rain, to help it grow, and God's in control of that. But then all of a sudden, when it came up and the wheat started to bear fruit, there was something else there. And it looked just like the wheat. It grew up just like the wheat. It came on just like the wheat, and the blade came and the fruit came, and the only way you could tell the difference was the tares don't have fruit. Amen. There's no grain. Amen. There's no grain. So outwardly, they look very similar. Outwardly, they look about the same, and when they were growing up, nobody could tell the difference, and until the fruit came on the wheat, nobody knew. But when it did come up, then you saw that there were tares. He says, then appeared the tares also. I want to tell you, dear friends, as plainly as I can, I believe the scriptures are very, very clear that in the kingdom of God, in his church, there are tares. Amen. Today, we would probably, I would probably refer to those as false converts. People who profess Christ with their mouth, but they don't possess Christ in their heart. Jesus would say of those in the day of judgment, they would profess that they did many wonderful works in the name of the Lord. They would talk about how good they were and all the great things they did in his name. And yet Jesus will profess to them, I never knew you. They look saved. They do great things, but they don't know Christ in their heart. They never genuinely repented. They never genuinely trusted with Christ with all their heart. And friends, you need to examine your heart. And listen, I get in trouble sometimes. People get mad. I'm preaching doubt. If that's the accusation you want to make, that's okay, I guess. But I think it's right and proper to warn people that being in church, having your name on a church roll, being baptized, doing good things in the name of Jesus, none of those things are going to make you right with God. Amen. Only faith in Christ alone will save you. Amen. Only faith in Christ alone will save you. Amen. And so there the tares appeared. So what are the tares? Look down at verse 38. The field is the world. The seed are the good seed are the children of the kingdom of God. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Stop right there. So the good seed, children of God, children of the kingdom of God, those who are saved. The tares, those are the children of the enemy. Those were sowed by the devil himself. They're the children of the devil. Well, who in the world are the children of the devil? Who could it possibly be talking about there? I want you to know that just because someone is religious does not mean that they are right with God. I want you to take a little detour with me real quickly to John chapter 8. Find verse 28. John 8, 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now look at verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. This sounds good, right? Right? Sounds good. Don't get too excited, though. Verse 31, Jesus said, to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, and this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Maybe this is something you guys get, maybe not, but this blows my mind. When we hear somebody believed in Jesus, we think, man, that's great. That's salvation. That's good. But you see, Jesus has the ability to look in someone's heart. And there's a difference in believing the words of Jesus right here and trusting Christ as your Savior. Does everybody get that? I mean, I grew up believing in Jesus. I was raised in church. I believed in Jesus, but I was lost. Even when I got to the age of accountability and I stayed in church, I still believed in Jesus right up here. But I had not repented and I did not trust in Christ. And I hope everybody can see that. Listen, the devils believe also and tremble. You believe in God? Great. You do well. The devils believe also and tremble. Belief in God right up here in your noggin is not going to get you to heaven. These people heard Jesus preaching, and by the way, he was telling those people, listen, you're going to lift up the Son of Man. He said, you are going to crucify me. And they believed him. We think that this outward thing, this belief, but these were religious people. These were the children of Abraham. These are people who said, God is our Father. These are people who lived holy, separated, righteous lives in the eyes of the people. And these are people who Jesus Christ said, you are of your father, the devil. And so outwardly, everything looked so great, and yet they were of their father, the devil. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight, friends, is it's about our true heart, our repentance and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he gives this warning. So go back to our text, Matthew 13, verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou show so good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He saith unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we should go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest whiles ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together the first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. What does all of that mean? Look down at verse 39 again. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun of the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the tares come up. The servants go to their master. They say, There's tares. Didn't you have good seed? Oh, yes, there's nothing wrong with my seed. The enemy has done this. Well, should we go out there and get the tares out of there so they don't mess things up? They're going to keep the real wheat from bearing as much fruit. Get that? That happens in the church today. People who hinder God's work because they're not really of God. No, no, no. Because if you go out and try to get the tares out, you might damage the wheat. By the way, some people think it's their spiritual gift to look around and decide who's really saved or not. If you think that's your spiritual gift, I just want to help you out tonight. That's not your gift. Because that's not a gift. People who want to go around deciding who's saved and who isn't, that's a curse. Listen, we can all see the fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. You shall know them by their fruits. We can see the fruit. And so don't go around trying to say, you know what, brother, I think you're really not saved. I've been looking and I'm pretty sure you're going to hell. Now listen, if you've got some kind of concern for somebody like that, by all means pray for them. By all means go to them. But instead of making some kind of accusation, just ask them about their testimony. Hey, could you tell me when you got saved? I mean, just some of you have been in this church a long time. How many of you have heard everyone in the church's testimony? You've heard everybody in the church's testimony. Right? Nobody. So if you're really worried about somebody, pray for them. Go ask them. You might wait a couple of weeks because now you're going to think. On the way out, you're like, hey, brother, I just got to ask you this. Can you give me your testimony? I'm not sure you have one. It's not our job to go around trying to decide. Jesus said, no, leave them alone. They'll grow together. And the angels will take care of that in the end of the world. Amen. Hollywood's done a good job of messing the Bible up. Amen. Anybody ever heard of the Grim Reaper? The Grim Reaper. What is he? You know, he's the big scary looking tall dude that wears all black and has a sickle. And some of you don't even know what a sickle is. Like a popsicle? Not a popsicle. You know, the long staff with the sharp curved blade for going in and cutting down the wheat. Right? And we get this picture, and it kind of, Hollywood's kind of messed all that up. But you need to get this, because the concept does come from the Bible. Because God is going to send his angels, and they are going to reap the harvest. And they're going to gather up all of the tares, all of the unrighteous, all of those that do iniquity. They're going to wrap them all up and bundle them together and cast them into the fire. These are those who are not genuinely saved. They're going to burn. And all those who are saved, those who are truly in the kingdom, those who are born of the good seed of the Word of God, they're going to be gathered up. And they're going to be put into His barn. Friend, that's where you want to be. You want to be gathered up and placed into the barn of the Lord Jesus Christ? You can only get there by repenting of your sin and your unbelief and putting all your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome God we serve. What a privilege that we could even have a hope to be gathered into his barn, but that's exactly what he offers if you'll repent and trust him. And that's exactly what he offers to your friends, your families, your neighbors, your coworkers, everyone in this community, around the world. Jesus died for them all, and they can be saved if they'll believe the gospel. So let's be faithful. If you need to make a decision for Christ tonight, you've never been saved, you need to be saved. You can trust in him tonight. You've been saved, but you need to be baptized and join this church and serve God in the church. You can make that decision tonight. If you need to come and pray for someone who's lost or pray that God will give you the courage to be a witness, whatever burden he puts on your heart, we're going to get ready for an invitation right now. While they're coming, would you stand with me? A harvest is coming. And God's angels are going to be the reapers, and they're going to come and they're going to separate the tares from the wheat, and only God knows. And only you know. Have you truly been saved? You've truly trusted Christ with all your heart. Not just believed in him up here, but you've trusted in him with all your heart. He wants to save you. He loves you. You can be saved tonight. Come and let us show you from the Bible how to be saved. If you are saved, you need to be baptized. You are saved and baptized. You need to be a better witness. Whatever it is, if he's convicting your heart, would you come?
Page 524.
Number 524. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Would you come?